If you have, turn 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning, please. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Father, anoint your word and anoint this messenger. Thank you for the opportunity one more time. Don't deserve it. Lord, you know that. I don't deserve to stand in the pulpit, but you've called me by your grace. Separated me from my mother's womb. Hallelujah to God. And bless thy righteous name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul gets into what's called typology. Things that happen in the Old Testament that point to a New Testament truth. A lot of folks don't believe in types. I do. I think sometimes maybe you can run them into the ground. That's possible. But I certainly believe in types. I believe Adam, for example, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the one that all the race of humanity came from. All of mankind can trace their genealogy back to Adam. A lot of things happened with Adam. We don't have time to talk about all that today. But the Lord Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. The reason he is because all of those that go into the future of mankind, those in the image of God, those that have been born of the image of God, will come from that last Adam. Make no mistake about that. The Old Testament, we've got the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was that which God had placed within the Holy of Holies. And there the pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the law were held within that. One great lesson we learn is this simple fact. Nothing on this earth could have held those three items together like the Ark of the Covenant did. And the place it was located, within the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could ever come and stand before that seventh month, 10th day of the month, standing on the dirt, no shoes on his hand, no light would he take back there. Between the cherubim, God said, this is the mercy seat. And he said, I will come and I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. Between the cherubim, back in the book of Genesis, when God made Adam, he would meet him in the cool of the day, and he'd fellowship with him, and they'd two walk together. And I can't emphasize it enough to you this morning, how important it is in the heart of God for you to talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Walk with him. Fellowship with him. My friend, you may strain yourself to death keeping laws. That does not impress God. It's from the heart that hungers for him and him alone. Nothing will satisfy your soul except that fellowship with the Lord. So the mercy seat was where the high priest would walk. Think about it. A seat that's on top of the law and the rod and the manna. That manna represented the body of Christ. He said, I'm John 6. I am the manna that came down from heaven. The rod that bloomed was the rod of Aaron to show that he was the anointed and the chosen of God. And then the tables of the law written by the finger of God that Moses brought down from that mountain. There's only one that ever kept the law. There's only one whose rod bloomed and nothing can ever put it out. And there's only one that can feed your soul and you'll never hunger again. Amen. Christ will satisfy what nothing else can satisfy. Religion will let you down. People will let you down. Stuff will let you down. You can pile it around you till you can't find your way out. You can have all the money of this world. You can have all the silver, all the gold, and be the most miserable, wretched creature alive. That's what's wrong with you now. You've tried everything but the Lord Jesus. Take hold of the Son of God. You'll find in him what your heart has really been seeking. There's a type in the Old Testament really takes us into the soul of God. And that's the brazen serpent. The children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness. The Bible said brazen, these fiery serpents came, began to bite them, and they died. They probably died as many people do from the bite of a serpent, where they foamed at the mouth and went into contractions. And it was a horrible death. And they saw their brethren and their sisters dying around them. And they cried out to God. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to take a serpent, lift it up, and put it on a wood. Lift it up so the people can see it. Note carefully, God didn't say, Moses, raise up the law. He didn't say, raise up your work or your accomplishment or anything you brought out of Egypt. He said, raise up a brazen serpent. And when one is bit, all he has to do is look to that serpent and he'll live. Well, the Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Here's typology, folks. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's as clear and plain as it can be. You kind of don't have to take hold of it. They didn't have to crawl up and touch that brazen serpent. They didn't have to take part of it and apply it somewhere. All they had to do was look and they live. That's all you have to do today is look and live. By faith, raise your head up from this hell hole that you're living in and look where life is, and he'll save your soul. Amen. The brazen serpent, the cities of refuge. In the Old Testament, a place that people could flee to. If for some reason that someone was after them, like a family member, what have you. Or a kinsman redeemer, for example. Tracking you down to settle a blood issue. You could flee to a city of refuge. And that, my friends, is a type of Christ, because he's the place you can flee to. Run to him. Don't drag around and try to drag a bunch of stuff with you. Religion wants you to drag something to God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor. Charlotte Elliott, they say, laid in a bed all of her life, practically an invalid. Charlotte Elliott wrote one of the most beautiful songs that you've ever read. And you've got it right there in your hymnal. And you know what it says? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I am. This from a woman who lay in bed like Fanny Crosby, who practically lost her sight. It is when the human flesh begins to fail you, when your intellect fails you, when your talents fail you, when your friends fail you, when everything fails you, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll find peace for your soul. You say, preacher, does this really work? Let me tell you something. Christ is alive at the right hand of God. And he lives in my soul. He lives, he lives, he lives. Thank God he lives. I serve a living, risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, he lives within my soul. The city of refuge is a beautiful thing. Then the Old Testament, there is David the king. David the king, and the scripture talked about the sure mercies of David. There's much about David that I could preach to you this morning, but he's only a part of what I'll be talking about here. But David was the only king that ever brought Israel together. Of all the kings of Israel, David, the one that was anointed at Hebron, the anointed that was one anointed at Jerusalem, he brought the children of Israel together. And it'll take the David, the greater David, when he comes back in power and might, to bring the children of Israel together again. For they'll look on him whom they pierced. They'll mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. I listened to the testimony of a brother the other day, and he said he was witnessing to a Jew. And he was in Jerusalem. And in that, while he witnessed to that Jew, he said, well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 22 in your Bible, the Jews' Bible. You see, the Jews say the Christians have their Bible and we got our Bible. Take his Bible, let him look at it. He said, well, I never noticed that before. The 22nd Psalm says they shall pierce him. They crucified him. And then in the book of Zechariah it says they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Isaiah chapter number 53 said, and he poured out his soul into death. He gave himself. And the Bible teaches us plainly from the 22nd Psalm, the 14th book of Zechariah, and Isaiah chapter number 53, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and did something for mankind. You know what he said? Here's what this Jew said to this brother witnessing to him. The Jew was honest and he wasn't hem-hawing around. He said, my rabbi never does teach any of that. For as far as they're concerned, that's not part of the Bible. Do you know why it's not part of the Bible? Because the only way you can deal with that is to say, a man was crucified. He was crucified by his friends. He bore the sins of the whole world. And he's coming again. Amen. Hallelujah to God. The mercy seat, what a beautiful thing it is. It's awful. Let me tell you, mercy's beautiful. Mercy's a wonderful thing. Oh yes, justice, righteousness, holiness. These are all wonderful things. But mercy is the most wonderful for you. Because without it, you never see righteousness. You never see glory. You'll never see peace. Your sins will never be forgiven. You'll never have a relationship with God without mercy. Amen. Be merciful to me, a sinner, the old boy said while he beat upon his chest. And the Lord Jesus said he went down to his house justified. And the other one said, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not as other men. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. He was a self-righteous hypocrite. Are you one? Which one are you? Did you come to this house this morning begging God for mercy? You don't have to tell everybody what you've done. You just know who you are. God be merciful. Or did you come in here looking down your nose, self-righteous? Let me tell you something. I've been a Baptist for 44 years, but I've been a Christian. A Christian. And I fellowship with anybody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see somebody they love the Lord, I'm asking what church they go to or what denomination they are. Do you know Jesus? But I know in the years that I've been in the Baptist church, I've never seen the lack of self-righteous people holier than thou looking down their nose, judging everybody around them, greatest thing that ever lived. That's sucking the very life out of us, folks. Fill the altar up and get on your knees and say, Lord God, forgive me. Have mercy on my soul. If you ever do that one time, you'll see your life transformed and changed. Amen. Have you ever met Melchizedek? Melchizedek is his name in Hebrew. Melech is king. Zedek is righteousness. He's the king of righteousness. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. How so, preacher? Well, there's a lot about Melchizedek, but this is what's important. He's a universal priest. 1900 B.C., Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem. Melchizedek was a priest and a king. And Abraham, as wonderful as he was, father of all the faithful. Let me tell you something. Abraham was a great man. Yet he paid tithe to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him. And the Bible said, truly the less is blessed of the greater. Here's God saying to you, even though Abraham took his son Isaac to Moriah, even though Abraham heard my word and came out of Ur of the Chaldees, even though Abraham got on his face at Bethel and built an altar and cried out to God, and even though Abraham could hear my word and come back up out of Egypt after 13 years, he still paid tithe to Melchizedek. I don't know if they'd ever met him before. I don't know if they'd ever seen him before. I don't know if anybody that knew him. But the very person of Melchizedek was enough to grab hold of Abraham. Enough, and he was ready to pay tithe to him. Who was this Melchizedek, preacher? Honest with you, some say he's Shem. Some say he's somebody else. Some say he's the Lord Jesus Christ in what's called a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Son of God. He could be, but I can't say for certain he was. But I'm going to tell you one thing for certain, he is. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. No question about that. What's that mean, preacher? It means red, yellow, black, and white, Indian, American, free man, bond man. It means wherever you go on this earth, it doesn't care where it is. Christ tasted death for every man. Amen. Hallelujah. My faith is not a racial faith. My faith is not a sectarian faith. And my faith is not a governmental faith. My faith is in the Son of God, who tasted my death, your death, everybody's death. The universal priesthood of Melchizedek. That's what's important about his name. He said in Exodus chapter number 25, verse 22, "There will I meet thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." Before Adam sinned, God met him in the garden. After Adam sinned, God met his representative in the Holy of Holies. This is an email I got from an Englishman. This is an English brother. I want you to listen to this now. I just had a few days ago. I answered him this morning. Make sure you get it when I send it to you. He said, "The Lord saved me nearly 3 years ago after spending most of my life as a right devil, 29 years. I was born into a home that had no time for God, and only material, which led me down the broad road of women, wine, and worldly excess. I went to the university and I was corrupted by teachings on sociology and psychology." And Lord help us, many, 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 many are. They've had Freud. They've had the rest of the ilk just like him. They've had those that are supposed sex experts. You've had it all dumped into your head. You go off to some university somewhere, they'll do everything they can to destroy your faith in the Word of God. Listen to him. He says, "I was corrupted by teachings on sociology, psychology. It was just further added to my misery. I joined the British Armed Forces after university, trying to find a sense of belonging. But there was still a huge hole in my soul that needed to be filled. I tried filling it with worldly things, but that made me even more miserable. I was on a survival course, dressing game, and the Lord revealed to me by His grace the animal I was butchering was indeed made by a creator. I had no clue who the creator was, but I knew that what the world had told me was a lie. Creatures are made by a creator. I was medically discharged, became a truck driver. Many long nights driving by yourself helps you to really think and put things into perspective. I started listening to American conspiracy theories." This is a good testimony. Some of you, that's all your life is about. The latest conspiracy theory. That's all you think about. That's all you read. You don't read the Bible. You go through your website every day and you see what's been posted on there. What's the latest conspiracy theory? I'm not up here today to tell you that there isn't something going on. There is. Look at your television set and notice how the advertisements are all coming from the same place. Watch it. Certainly there's something happening. But there's something greater than that. He said, "I started listening to American conspiracy theories online. Fascinated me. However, the deeper I delved, the more depressed I became. If there was such evil power in the world, where's the good and what is it? Then I heard you preach a sermon on the New World Order, which got my attention. I believe the Lord led me to your sermon and that He softened my hardened heart to receive your messages." You see, he gets a foot through the door. "At the time, I couldn't stand preaching in church things. I had been put off by it, living in the darkness that is England. However, your sermon intrigued me, and when you started talking about Jesus Christ and how He's the only way, the only light, and the only goodness in the world, there was my answer. You preached a sermon on hell as I was driving over Bodmin Moor in Cornwall, and I knew there and then I was a sinner and justly bound for hell. You also preached on the forgiveness at the cross and how the Lord Jesus took my sins on the cross and paid for them. And by the grace of God, I called upon the name of the Lord. Tears streaming down my face, I knew I was forgiven for all my dastardly deeds. The Lord Jesus has saved me out of addiction to sin. And now I'm married, which before the Lord saved me, I never wanted to get married." And this continues on. You can read it when you get after the service this morning. Read all of it. Here's a man that got saved. He got saved just like you get saved. You get saved in Africa or England or Spain or Portugal or the Middle East or Japan or China the same way. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. God had to get to him. He had to come through his walls. This wall. Some of you have walls in front of you, between you and God. You do. And you're hiding behind it. Some of you are hiding behind somebody that used to be a preacher and he was caught in adultery. Some of you are hiding behind somebody that took your wife or your husband away from you, and yet they said they were a Christian. Some of you are hiding behind the loss of a loved one, husband, a wife, a father, mother, son, or a daughter, and you're saying, how in the world could God be a good God and do that to me? Some of you are hiding behind the loss of a little child to watch it die with leukemia or cancer of some kind. Little five-year-old boy over here in North Carolina, 5 years old, a monster put a gun to its head and shot that little baby and killed it. 5 years old. They say that the father picked up that little boy and he could wail and you could hear him crying all over the place. My, my, my. What a thing for a monster to just react like that. And then after the monster killed the little boy, he ran. Did he not think that once you've killed a child like that, they're going to come after you? Amen. 5 years old, took his life. Satan will sift that family if he can. Please pray for these dear people. Because unless you've lost something that precious in your soul, you don't know what they're going through. But I'm so glad today, thanks be unto God. It doesn't matter what you have to go through in this world. He said, I'll go through with you. If you go through the fire, I'll be with you. If they throw you into the furnace, I'll be in that furnace. He said, if you go in the sea and you put your hand out and say, Lord Jesus, bid me come to thee. That's the highest point in your whole Christian life. You're walking on water. You're on top of the mountain. And you think to yourself, my goodness, how in the world could anything happen to me like happens to other people? I'm up here. I'm spiritual now. Glory to God. I'm shouting, I'm praising God, I'm preaching, I'm pastoring, I'm ministering, I'm a missionary, I'm this, I'm that. Lord, thank you. It's good to be up here on top of this mountain. And then you take your eyes off of him for a moment. Somebody comes against you. Somebody tries to destroy your testimony, your character. Something happens to you. And you take your eyes off of the one that saves you. And the moment you do, down you go. Some of you in this house today, the water's already covered your head. You're going down. You're going. It's going to take a saint that knows what it is to restore somebody to help you. But some of you, that hand is still can be seen. That hand can be, Lord, save me. Save me. I like to think, and I don't know for sure, you know, I mean, who knows? How long does it take to sink in water? And the moment that Peter took his eyes off the Lord, what happened to him? Just like that, right? But he said, Lord, save me. I like to think that that hand still hadn't gone under yet. Just a little bit. Just enough to get a hold of. And he grabbed him. And Peter felt it. Oh, yes! He grabbed him. And he pulled him up out of that water. Boy, he's done me like that more than once. He's grabbed me and he's pulled me up. Amen. Amen. I've told you before, the last few weeks have been rough. Been real rough. Real rough. And my soul was suffering and sorrowing. And you're going to have that times like that happen to you. So what'd you do, preacher? Well, for about a week I stomped around and got mad and carried on and kicked slats out of my cradle and threw my rattler out on the floor and wouldn't take my... I couldn't find my passage, so I threw it away too. You know, for about a week, I was the biggest baby that ever lived because all I could see was what was happening to me. Once I got over my little tantrum, I'm talking to you. Am I listening to me this morning? Amen. These aren't part of my notes. I'm talking to you. Either you're real or you're not real. All right. So I spent a week feeling sorry for myself, you know, sitting under my juniper tree. And then I said to myself one day, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of it. God called me to preach, and I know he did. And he put me in that church, and I know he did. And God's ministering to people, and I know he is. And I got on my face, and I said, God, forgive me for being such a baby's hind end. Forgive me. Help me. I need something from you to go on. And that's when it came. did, it came.
Amen.
I got up this morning and my wife got up and I, and she's over here on this side of the bed. She got up and I looked over at her and I said, I'm going to tell you something. God was right here with me when I got up this morning. I said, this is going to be a good day. Amen. He blessed me. That joy is back. The victory's back. I'm walking again. I'm not whimpering and crying and licking my wounds. And I offer that to you today. Are you where I was? Now don't stick your self-righteous chest out at me. How many of you in here this house this morning have done the same thing? You've whined and cried. And you kicked the slats out of your crib and threw your rattler out on the floor. Well, why don't you come to him today and say, Lord Jesus, I know what that preacher said's right. It's true. I want to walk with you again. I need your strength. I've failed and I'll always fail and I'm a failure, but you're not a failure. And he'll bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I got a little bit off of what I planned on preaching this morning, Lord. But I felt led of the Holy Ghost to say what I did. There's somebody in this house today that needed that. They realize, Father, if they hear the pastor talk like that, they realize they're not in the midst of a bunch of stuffed shirts, a bunch of self-righteous, egotistical, holier-than-thou Pharisees. But they're in the midst of people just like them. And they are. And I pray that you'd move in their heart and let them come down here this morning. Let them get something for their soul. If it's sin, may they get forgiveness, Lord. If it's unbelief, our Heavenly Father, increase their faith. Lord, if they're headed down the wrong path, then Heavenly Father, put something like Balaam, Balaam's donkey in front of them to show them the right way. In Jesus' name, amen.